Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Samuel chapter number 11, and we'll read that, and then we'll going to turn over to chapter number 31, and we'll read there too. And when you found your place, if you would stand in the reverence reading of God's Word. The Bible says, "Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, Make a covenant with us, and we will serve thee. And Nahash the Ammonite answered them on this condition, Will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for reproach upon all Israel. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, Give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers into all the coasts of Israel. And then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul, and told the tidings of the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after the herd out of the field, and Saul said, What aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them into pieces and sent them throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, Whoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, Thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, Tomorrow by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it unto the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, Tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies, and they came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll give us a fresh anointing this evening, Lord. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to learn from your word. Help us to open our hearts, our ears, and our minds, Lord, and have something for us tonight, Lord. And Father, help us, Lord, as we go. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I see that y'all just went ahead and sat down. I just want to go ahead and read chapter number 31. You can keep your finger there in chapter number 11. A lot's happened since chapter 11 into 31, and it's estimated about 40 years have passed. And I want to read you this, and I want you to think about this. It says, Now when the Philistines fought against Israel, and the men of Israel fled from before the Philistines and fell down slain to Mount Gilboa, and the Philistines followed hard upon Saul and upon his sons, and the Philistines slew Jonathan and Abinadab and Malchishua, Saul's sons. And the battle went sore against Saul, and the archers hit him, and he was sore wounded of the archers. Then said Saul unto his armor-bearer, Draw thy sword and thrust me through therewith, lest these uncircumcised come and thrust me through and abuse me. But his armor-bearer would not, for he was sore afraid. Therefore Saul took a sword and fell upon it. And when his armor-bearer saw that Saul was dead, he fell likewise upon his sword and died with him. So Saul died, and his three sons, and his armor-bearer, and all his men that same day together. And when the men of Israel were on the other side of the valley, and they that were on the other side Jordan saw that the men of Israel fled, and that Saul and his sons were dead. They forsook the cities and fled, and the Philistines came and dwelt in them. And it came to pass on the morrow, when the Philistines came to strip the slain, that they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa. And they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to a wall of Bethshan. And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistine had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. I want to preach about this simple topic, the weak and the strong. The weak and the strong. And there's so many examples in the Bible of weak and strong. We could preach about Samson. We could preach about Gideon or even David. And I heard this example used, and I thought, I'd like to use that, about a little town called Jabesh Gilead. But in order to know what state they're in here, back in chapter 11 when they first start, I just want to fill in the gap here. The town here in Jabesh Gilead was the half-tribe of Manasseh that settled on the east side of the Jordan. Jabesh was the name. Gilead was the region belonging to Manasseh. Remember, Manasseh was the one of the sons of Joseph. And one of the stipulations of their being allowed to stay there and settle on the east side of the Jordan before the conquering was that they would go across the Jordan and that they would help Israel conquer the land of Canaan. And they would fight for them, driving out the inhabitants of Canaan. And we read about that agreement there in Joshua chapter number 1. And it seems that the 2.5 tribes kept their commitment to go in and to fight for the whole of Israel, and you know, as they conquered Canaan. But it was during a civil war that erupted between Israel and the tribe of Benjamin that the men of Jabesh Gilead kind of just went AWOL, and they failed to defend the honor of the nation against Benjamin. And because they failed to show up, the men and the married women of that city of Jabesh were slain. They were killed in the very last book of Judges. Because of this failure to come to war against the Benjamites who had survived the war, you know, they took these women who were virgins and they gave them to the Benjamites to rebuild the tribe of Benjamin, of which Saul, coincidentally, was a son of. And we fast forward here to 1 Samuel chapter number 11. The young boys who were left here in Jabesh Gilead had perhaps had the time to reach adulthood, maybe even be grandparents themselves. But here we find that they were weak. And here the Ammonites came upon them. And they came upon them under the King Nahash, and they were camped against him at this point. They are weak, and they're about to be destroyed. And the men of Nahash, the Ammonite, required that the men of Jabesh Gilead pluck out their right eyes. So the men of Jabesh Gilead asked for 1 week. They said, give us 1 week during which they appealed to Israel for help in order to preserve their eyes and perhaps maintain their liberty. You lose your right eye, you lose your dominant eye. It's a great weakness. They said, give us a week so we can find some help, a deliverer. So they sent over to the west side of Jordan. They gave Saul word about what was happening in the town of Jabesh. And he rose up and he said, oh no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And in strength, he brought thousands upon thousands of men and went down and he destroyed the enemy. It was a time in which the weak needed the strong. And there'll be times in your life when you'll be weak. In temptation, in trial, in doubt, in anxiety, in sickness, or whatever. And you'll need somebody who's strong. But then 40 years later, after chapter 11, something happened that the strong became weak. Saul had been defeated. He'd been slain and with his sons, and Israel's on the run, and the Philistines had taken his body and nailed it to a wall. But there was a town called Jabesh Gilead that was one time weak, but they rose up in strength and delivered the same person who used to be strong. There'll be times in our life when we'll be weak and we'll need somebody strong, but there'll also be times in your life when you'll be raised up in strength and God will send you to meet the need of somebody that is weak. And what we need to understand is when we're on our way up in strength, don't forget those that are weak. Because there will come a time when they're coming back up and you'll be on your way down. The best example I've seen is a family. A mother and father that are strong. A mother and father that tend to their babies. That raise them up. But age takes over and parents begin to become weak, losing their strength, losing their ability. But thank God, here comes the weak ones that have become strong to aid those in the time of weak. Those that are weak need the strong. I want to look at three things out of this text. First of all, I want to look at the history of weakness and strength. I would say to you that their weakness was inherited from their fathers. You know, Sophia came up to me just a little while ago and she said, "What are you preaching on?" And I said, "Oh, I'm preaching about you, the weak." And she said, "Well, like father, like daughter, huh?" But here, Jabesh is weak because some of that weakness was handed down. Some of it was handed down in a decision that was made when they decided that they weren't going to go over to the other side of Jordan and help. They're weak and they're defenseless. They're alone. Now, I want you to understand that they are the children of God. But they've been brought and left in this place, and it has affected them and their place and their position. It's affected them. It's affected them spiritually. They have no connections with the other tribes. They have no relationships. Now, they can cross. They can go over and cross that river anytime they want to. Anytime they want to. Much like us, we can pick up a phone and call somebody anytime we want to. But you know, they're probably like Baptists. If it's too far and too inconvenient, they just ain't going to show up. But they inherited a weakness. And we have that too. The weakness from history came all the way back from Adam and Eve, the fall of Adam and Eve. I've inherited weakness from my parents. Man, if both my parents were over 6 foot tall, maybe I would have been over 6 foot tall and I'd been a basketball star. You know, if I was 1 foot taller, I could probably dunk it, I think. And that's what I'd like to do. But there was also a spiritual weakness that was left. I'll talk more about that in a minute. There was a weakness. It came through inheritance, their history, the disadvantages that come through what was inherited. This is their main problem. They have an inherited weakness. We have an inherited weakness that we have to deal with, and we need somebody strong enough to help us in those weaknesses. Now in chapter 11, Saul and Israel were strong. They've inherited this strength through their fathers. They were brought up in the strength of the father. They've been through many battles and trials, and Saul was able to raise 300,000 men in a day. Man, they were strong. But in 1 Samuel 31, Saul's dead. The king who once saved Jabesh Gilead now lies dishonored on a wall in Bethshan. Israel is scattered. Saul, once strong, is now utterly weak, unable to defend his own body. But now Jabesh Gilead is different. The city that once trembled now shows courage. The people who once begged for rescue now risk their lives. They march through the night, retrieve the body of Saul, and give him an honorable burial. The weak have become strong enough to act. And this is the rhythm of God's work. He lifts the weak, he humbles the strong. He moves us back and forth so we never mistake ourselves for the source of victory. From Genesis to Revelation, the story of God's people is not just a story of uninterrupted strength, but of constant dependence. Abraham was strong in faith, yet weak in fear in Egypt. Moses was mighty before Pharaoh, yet he trembled before the bush. David was bold before Goliath, yet broken after Bathsheba. The Bible shows us again and again that God writes his greatest chapters through imperfect people. The Bible shows us that we can point to all these seasons when we were desperate and God carried us. And we can point to the other seasons when God strengthened us to carry somebody else. This is our history, not a record of our greatness, but of divine faithfulness that we have. They had a history of weakness and being strong. They had a history. Next, I want you to notice the hazards. There's hazards in being weak and being strong. There's hazards. Jabesh-Gilead, they're vulnerable to the people that surround them. And what the people want them to do is make them weaker. Pluck out that eye. Make them even weaker. Put out every man's right eye. And I'm going to tell you, the devil and the demons of this world are trying hard to make you weak every way that they can. It's not the duty of the strong to make people weaker. When a strong person wants to tear down the strong and tear down the weak, it's not coming from the Lord. You might tear somebody down when you're strong, and they'll go get help from somebody stronger than you, and then you'll be weak, just like Jabesh did here. The hazard of weakness is discouragement. Man, Jabesh-Gilead was surrounded. Their fear nearly led them to surrender. They're going to surrender their future. Weakness can whisper lies. God's forgotten you. This problem's too big. There's no way out. Nobody's coming to help you. Weakness can drain your courage and can cloud your judgment. It can push us toward compromise. It can push us toward prayerlessness and despair. Many believers don't fall in times of prosperity, but in moments of exhaustion and disappointment. Jabesh was weak and they were scared and they probably felt like God had forgotten them and this problem was just way too big and there's no way out. They're going to come and they're going to take our city and they're going to pluck our eye out. They needed somebody strong. Yet strength carries an even subtle hazard. There's a big difference in here in chapter number 11 and chapter 31. Saul was strong in chapter 11. But not so strong in chapter 31. Saul began well. He was humble. He was dependent. He was obedient. But after victory followed victory, something changed. Confidence slowly replaced dependence. He began to trust his instinct more than God's words. He started having partial obedience. And that replaced his full surrender. Strength can cause you spiritual amnesia. We forget who lifted us up. We forget who helped us build what we have. We forget the people that we've helped. Prayer becomes shorter. Worship becomes colder. And obedience just becomes optional. Saul decided he didn't need to do things God's way anymore. He wanted to get stronger, but on his own. That reminds me of an anointed cherub who was set upon a holy mountain, and iniquity was found in his heart because he wanted to get stronger. And on his way down, he probably said, "Where did that come from?" And I about guarantee you, when you're on your way down and the iniquity is found in your heart, you're going to ask yourself the same thing. Where did it come from? Where did it come from? Weakness says, "I can't go on." Strength says, "Sometimes I don't need God." Both are deadly. That's why Scripture warns us not only about pride, but about fainting. Satan doesn't care whether he defeats us through despair or through arrogance. Either way, he wins if you stop. God allows weakness to keep us humble. And if we use our strength and walk the wrong way, one day he's going to humble you. God allows strength to reveal our hearts. Both of those are tools in his hand. So we see the history of the weakness and strength, and we see here the hazards of weakness and strength. And I want to point you to the hope in weakness and strength. There is hope. They said to them, if you'll give us just a little time, we'll see if there's somebody. Somebody that can not only deliver us from our weakness, but can defeat you as our enemy. Somebody that can come and do the total work that we need done on the inside and out. In other words, the hope of their weakness was a deliverer, was a savior. They said, we're going to go look for a savior. Oh, how true, we need to seek him when he may be found. But our only hope is if somebody strong enough can intervene for somebody that is weak enough. We need the help and we need it now. They sent for a savior. They refused to surrender. They weren't ready to give up. But I'm going to tell you something. The only way you're going to get help is if you admit it. When they sent for him, they sent word, we're weak and we need help. They confessed their weakness. They refused to surrender in their weakness. And they take their weakness and they put it in their hands of somebody who is strong. Then comes, but God. We got some help on the way. We got some hope in our circumstances. Out of their weakness, and when they saw no hope, they said, you can't get strength until you first find out that you're weak. And what God will do is he'll leave you in a place long enough where you realize that more than anything, you'll know that you're weak. Those times when you fall on your face and you cry out to God, oh Lord, here's what I'm facing. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's what's coming from the devil. Here's my weakness. Here's where I'm at. I need somebody strong. If you ever find out how weak you are, you'll be able to find out how strong he is. Paul learned that lesson when he pleaded for his thorn to be removed. God didn't take his weakness away. Instead, he gave him a promise. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. God doesn't merely just tolerate weakness. He uses it. Weakness teaches us to pray. Weakness teaches us to lean. Weakness teaches us that power belongs to God. And when God grants strength, it's not so we can boast, but it's so we can serve. He strengthens us to lift others up, just as Jabesh Gilead lifted Saul. Some of the strongest ministries are born in the deepest valleys. Some of the most useful servants for are those who remembered what it's like to be helpless. Our weakness isn't a disqualification. It's a platform for grace. Your strength is not an achievement. It's a stewardship from God. And every season, the message is the same. Trust him. When you are weak, he's strong. When you are strong, he must remain first. Our hope is not in the condition of our lives, but in the faithfulness to our Lord. Remember Elijah talking a couple weeks ago about his dad and grandpa taking him hunting, you know, and teaching him the path, how to get out there, and you know they were making him strong. And that's what we want to do for our kids is, you know, make them strong. I remember the first time somebody took me hunting. I didn't have any camo or a gun or any knowledge, and we went early that morning. We was driving out into a field, and we stopped. He said, get out. He said, walk that way. There's a tree stand down there. And I walked that way. I couldn't find it. And I walked some more, and I finally found it. And there was a tree stand sitting there. He told me, he said, climb about 10 to 15 feet in that tree. Well, I never used a tree stand before. I was scared. But I figured it out. Jabesh was weak. They inherited their weakness. It made them weak physically, but also it made them weak spiritually. I didn't inherit a daddy who read me the Bible. I didn't inherit a daddy who showed me how to be a spiritual leader. I didn't inherit a daddy who showed me how to love his wife like Christ loved the church. I believe my daddy is a good person, but spiritually speaking, I inherited weakness. And it made me weak. And I had to seek somebody who was strong to help me. I want to make weak people strong. I'm going to need strong people when I get weak. Because of the strong Saul and Israel, the weak have in turn become the deliverers. I'm going to need strong people. We turn back over to 1 Samuel chapter 31. In verse 11 it says, "And when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose, and they went all night." They went all night. They didn't care. They knew somebody was weak, and they were strong, and they needed to help them out. They went all night. They took the body of Saul and the bodies and the sons from the wall of Bethshan, and they came out and burned them, and they took their bones and they buried them under that tree in Jabesh. There are just some areas of which you're stronger than others. Everybody has something in their life which you're stronger than somebody else. You may have the gift of being a singer. How many of us here don't? You may be an auto mechanic. How many of us aren't? You may be a plumber. Everybody here is. And if you're not a plumber, I can help you out. Quarter inch a foot, there you're a plumber. Some people can play instruments. Others can't. But many of us, I promise you're made in such a unique way that there's something that you can do better than so many others. And you're strong in it. But what is it that God wants you to do with the strength that He's given you? He wants you to use your strength to help those that are weak. You better help those that are weak, because the day may come when you are weak. You are going to need them because they have become strong. Romans 15:1 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, not to please ourselves." If you would, turn over to 2 Samuel. I'm about done. 2 Samuel chapter number 2. Verse 4. "And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, 'The men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul.' And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said unto them, 'Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord showed kindness and truth unto you, and I will also requite you this kindness, because you have done this thing. Therefore, now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them." Man, thank God for Saul. Thank God for Israel. They delivered Jabesh-Gilead. They were weak, but the day is going to come when David's going to say, "Thank God for Jabesh that was delivered by Saul." Because the day has come when the weak have become strong and the strong have needed them. You may be strong, but beloved, we are all prone to weakness. And in our weakness, if we have aided those who have been down, they'll help us. Miss Tanya, if you would come get a song. I was thinking about, you probably heard this before, about Thomas Edison. When he's trying to make the light bulb, he failed over and over and over and over again. Thousands of experiments didn't work. And a reporter once asked him how it felt to fail so many times. And Edison replied, I haven't failed. I just found 10,000 ways that wouldn't work." Those trials that we face when we're weak can lead to a bright future. Some of us are standing today where Jabesh-Gilead once stood. You feel like you're surrounded. The pressure is heavy. The strength is gone. You've prayed, but the answer just hasn't yet come. And quietly in your heart, you wonder, am I going to make it? I want you to hear this. God has not abandoned you. The moment of weakness may be the very place where His power is getting ready to be revealed. When you're ready to come to Him and admit your weakness, He stands with His arms wide open. Others of us may be in seasons of strength. Things are going well, doors are opening, life feels stable, but the danger is subtle. You may be drifting from the same dependence that once kept you close to God. Strength must never replace surrender. Today, God's calling both the weak and the strong to the same place.